You're listening to the Prayer Storm podcast. We pray that this teaching blesses you, challenges you, and equips you, leaving you ignited for all that God has for you. Don't forget to check out James Laddering's book, Life on Fire, which is out now. You can find this and more at prayerstorm.org, or you can click the link in the description below.
Okay, so we're going to go into the Word. Let me just ask the Lord for revelation. Father, your Word cannot be accessed without the Spirit of revelation. So we ask that you would unveil that to us tonight. We ask that you would cause us to see wondrous things in your law, in your Word, and that it would lead to a shift in our perspectives, and that you would truly raise up an army in our nation and in the nations of the earth to prepare the way for the second coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1. Before I read it, I'm going to share a few things. You know, when you start to pray and you start to journey in prayer, you learn a lot of things as you go along. And there's some things that you don't learn from a book, but you learn by experience. And in reality, prayer is not something that you just read a book about or you just hear a teaching about. It's something you do. Someone say something I do. Okay, you learn to pray by doing it. The spirit of prayer is more caught than taught. And so there is a place for teaching, which we're going to do, but there's something you catch. And so it's like, you know, COVID. In fact, that's what it needs to be like. You need to catch the prayer virus and then be a super spreader. Spread it everywhere you go. And so there's something about praying with certain people that the more you pray with them is like their prayer stirs your prayer. Anyone knows what I'm talking about? So you need to get into those communities where as you get into those space, the prayer engines are fired up within you. You need to surround yourself with things that stir you to pray. Now, as you journey in prayer, what you're going to start to realize is there are times where you face different types of resistance. There is a resistance you can face on one level that is internal. Someone say internal. And so that resistance that's internal is often a disconnect from God. It's not that he's not there, but there are layers of flesh that need to get out of the way. You know, the Holy Spirit is in you for a reason, to get out. And the flesh is what stops him from getting out. So there are times when you're wanting to pray, to spend time with the Lord, and what is stopping you from going deeper are layers of flesh that need to be dealt with. So I often say God loves the smell of burning flesh. That's why you're supposed to stay on the altar. You're not meant to come off it. You're meant to stay on it because you die, and then the next day you come alive again, and then you get on it again, and you die again. So it's a constant process of being dead to the flesh. So as you journey in prayer, you start to get familiar with some of the internal resistance, especially when you've experienced intimacy with God, you've experienced depth of connection with His Spirit. You know when you don't have it. And you should know when He's grieved. If you don't know, then we have a problem. Because one of the signs that you're truly born again is that there's a consciousness of God He puts in you. And so when He's grieved, you should know. So, for example, I could hang out with my wife. We could go out for a meal and I could invite you to come along and you could join us for the meal. And maybe we're having a discussion and my wife gets upset. Now, we could be having a conversation. You probably will not know that my wife is upset. But I should be able to pick up that she's upset without her saying that she's... Anyone hearing me here today? Any married couples in the room? So the point is, there's non-verbal communication. And you might call it vibes, you might call it whatever. The point is, the intimacy we have makes it possible for me to discern when something is wrong. But you who doesn't have that level of closeness comes into that environment, you will not necessarily know something is wrong. So here is how that relates to you and the Holy Spirit. How can you tell me you're walking close to the Holy Spirit and He's grieved and you're unaware? Are you hearing me? If He is grieved and you're unaware, it means you're not close to him. So one of the signs of life and the fact that you're really walking with the Lord is the consciousness of God in you causes you to be aware when his spirit is grieved. And he corrects you. He brings order. The reason why I'm saying this is many people are familiar with the internal resistance they face when they pray. And you need to learn how to break through with that resistance. And oftentimes repentance, humility, submission to God's authority helps you to get to that place where your heart is reconnected with him. The other level of resistance people don't consider sometimes is not internal. It is external. There are times you decide you want to pray and what you're dealing with is not internal resistance, but it's atmospheric issues. The atmosphere you're praying in has not yet been sanitized. There's still things in the air that's affecting your ability to ascend. Now, the more you pray, the more you notice that sometimes you go to some places and it's easier to pray in those places than other places. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? So there's something that I'm going to talk on today about atmospheres and our calling as intercessors to calibrate atmospheres. In fact, I'm going to call us, true intercessors are a spiritual air force. Today is VE Day, and there's celebration going across the nation and the nations, especially in Europe, because it's 80 years since, the victory over the German forces in the Second World War. You all know about that happening, right? You all know about that happening, right? If you don't know, now you know. So it's 80 years today. So I don't take it lightly that I'm having to talk about this today. So we're going to talk about the air and atmospheres and how that impacts on territories and how that impacts on the purposes of God and regions. Okay, so I went to a certain country. I'm not going to name where, but as soon as I got off the plane, I realized my thought process was, wow, Jezebel is strong here. And I was saying in myself, like, it's so intense. I don't know why, but I could feel the influence of the spirit of Jezebel so strong. And Jezebel can manifest herself in different ways. But in this territory I was in, perversion was so strong. It was like palpable to me. And you know, there's sometimes where you can be in a certain atmosphere for so long, because you're in it, you become desensitized to it. And so there are times when going out is good. Go to a revival atmosphere. You get recalibrated. And then when you come back into what you were comfortable in, all of a sudden you're like, what was I thinking? So I go into this atmosphere and I'm like, wow, this is so strong in this place. And one of the places I ministered at, I realized there was so much influence of perversion. The level of prostitution was on a level I had not seen before. But there were so many churches in the area. And so I was reflecting on that, thinking, how is it that there's so much prostitution here, and yet there's so many churches? If the prostitution is prospering, it's because there is a demand. There will be no supply if there is no what? And oftentimes the church is not influencing that atmosphere like it should, because the church are also involved in the demand. Are you hearing me today? And so the church cannot exercise authority in that space because that atmosphere is potent with perversion. So if you have any vulnerability in that area of your life and you step into that territory, the level of intensity in that area of temptation, or you probably fall into sin in that area. Because the atmosphere is full of it. Now, let me help you understand. Whenever sin takes place, for example, murder, when someone is killed, Abel was killed, his blood hit the ground. And the blood had a sound. That act of sin had an impact on the land. And the voice was crying out to God. So, because of that act of rebellion, the land is defiled. So, injustice happens somewhere right here in Manchester. That act of injustice does something in the atmosphere. Someone is wrongfully, you know, beaten up. Someone is raped. Someone is, you know, name it. Different acts of injustice here and there. These things, right, they influence the land in a negative way. And the land in turn also impacts on the atmosphere of that territory. And over time, what happens is acts of injustice influence the space such that if you come into that space, whether you know it or not, you will come under what has been going on before you got there. Okay, let me use this text to explain what I'm getting at. So this is Ephesians 2:1. It says, "And you he made alive, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now, that is a lot of text that may go over your head because, you know, there's a lot in there. So we're going to try to break it down. Let's go to verse 1 again. He says, "In you he made alive." Everyone say, "He made me alive." So what Paul is saying there is to the church, when you said yes to Jesus, he made you alive. But before he made you alive, here is what your condition was. Your condition was you were dead in trespasses and sins. So that deadness is not how you think of deadness. So if you think of someone being dead, like they're just a dead body right there, they're not moving, nothing is happening. This deadness is a spiritual deadness, but this spiritual deadness has an outward manifestation. So you were dead in trespasses, and that deadness manifested by a walk. So the next few words says, you were dead in trespasses, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. So the manifestation of your deadness is seen in your walk. This is before you became a believer. And that walk was in alignment with the course of this world. That world idea, the way it says the world, it's, you know, the Bible talks about do not be conformed to the world. It's a system of operation. The kingdom of darkness is organized and, you know, has things put in place to keep people in a pattern of life that's actually captivity. And one of the enemy's tactics is to keep you bound, but you don't know you're bound. You think you're free to sleep around, but you're actually bound. You think you're free to do whatever you want to do. Because this whole, you know, religious thing is all about rules and regulations. I'm free. Well, you think you're free, but you're actually bound. And one of the ways we know you're bound is try to stop it. Then you realize that thing you thought you were free to do, you're not actually as free as you thought. There is another force influencing your actions. So the scripture is saying before you got saved, you were dead And the manifestation of that deadness, sin in your walk, your lifestyle. And that lifestyle was according to the course of this world. So here's where it gets interesting. It then says, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So the course of this world, the way you walk was set by the course of this world, was influenced by the course of this world. But the course of this world is set by the prince and the prince and okay, you see what he said. He didn't say, and the course of this world is set by the devil. He didn't say the course of the world is set by Lucifer. What did he say? Come on, church. By what? The prince? Okay. So there is something he's trying to communicate here and he wants us to see. Yes, it's the devil. But the devil does not just walk in the way some people think. When I think of the devil, there are different ways in which he creates systems to oppress people. And one of the systems that's potent, that Christians often consider, is the atmosphere. When he says air, look up the Greek word. It actually means the atmosphere. He's the prince and the power of the atmosphere. And because he's the prince and power of the atmosphere is he presides over, he's able to dominate the lives of people under that atmosphere. Have you realized you have to be under certain atmospheres for some things to take place? You have to be under certain atmospheres for certain fruits or certain things to manifest. Even in natural, you know, there's some things that grow here in the United Kingdom that wouldn't grow in other parts of the world because of the climate. A climate is an atmosphere sustained for a long period of time. You go to the club, people partying in the club, there are things that would happen in that atmosphere that will not quickly, easily happen in other atmospheres because the music and the sound and all that's happening there, it's creating a space for certain manifestations to take place. So, the scripture tells us in Psalm 24, it says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy temple? He who has who has not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully. When it says, who may ascend to the hill, another way of looking at that is, who may rise to a rank of authority in the spirit? Because to ascend, you go from one level, the valley, to the mountaintop. When you're at the mountaintop, you're able to see things with a different perspective because of your height. And actually, that is a picture of rising in the spirit to gain what I'm calling air supremacy. Whenever you look at a culture, whenever you look at a society or people group or a community, and you see certain lifestyles in the people, it could be poverty stricken, it could be drug, you know, people are just bound by drugs, and you see the pattern over and over again from generation to generation, that is not just coincidental, those sort of things. When you see these patterns, it's often connected to atmospheres that have been sustained for a long period of time. Even here in Manchester, when I drive from the South Manchester to North Manchester, it's a different atmosphere in the North to the South. Any Mancunians testify to that? There are certain things that are predominant in some atmosphere that are not in others. And what you realize is, whatever is ruling in the atmosphere would always seek to find expression on the land through the life of the people. So, one of the ways I like to explain this is, there are radio waves in this room right now, but you can't see them, and you don't know they're here. You can believe they're intellectually, scientifically, they're here. But if you're going to really make use of the radio waves in this room, you need a radio receiver to what? To tune into the frequencies that are already here. And the radio receiver gives expression to what is already in the atmosphere that you can't pick up with your intellect and your natural abilities. Now, in the same way the radio receiver gives expression to what's in the atmosphere, your soul is like a radio receiver in the spirit. Are you hearing me? And so your soul picks up what is in the air. And whatever is in the air, your soul often finds ways to express it through your walk, especially when you're not under the government of Christ. Even when you're under the government of Christ, if there's still areas of vulnerability that are not submitted to Him, you can step into certain atmospheres that are potent with certain spiritual influences, and things will trigger in your life that you thought you had overcome some time ago. Because you stepped into an atmosphere where there is a dominance of that spirit, and your soul is picking it up. And if your soul is picking up, eventually you start to find expression through your life. It starts to find expression through your life. As believers, part of our calling is to gain air supremacy. Now, today we're celebrating VE Day, you know, World War II victory. But when I think of World War II, one of the things that comes to mind is the RAF. Do you guys know anything about the RAF? The RAF were the British forces that fought the Battle of Britain. And they fought the Battle of Britain, not on the land. Where did they fight it? Where did they fight it? And a famous speech by Winston Churchill, which many of you would know, the few, he says, "Never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few." He was referring to these guys who fought the battle against the superior German forces in the air. Listen, guys, if they didn't win that battle, we would all be speaking German right now. They had to win the battle where? Whoever has air supremacy has advantage in battle. When we pray, the Bible says it's not just words coming from our mouth. What arises? What arises from us when we pray and worship? Incense influences what? The air. If I had to build fire right now and incense starts, the smoke of the incense fills the air. So one of the ways in which we change the atmosphere is to release potent incense. And the type of incense we release has to be incense that's disconnected from the captivity of the territory we're in. Let me just go on a quick tangent here. Ezekiel 22. The Lord says something interesting. He said, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap." Do you know that passage? Let's see if I could just turn there quickly. Ezekiel 22, 30. In fact, let's start from verse 29. We could go further back, but we can start from verse 29. "The people of the land have used oppressions. They've committed robberies and mistreated the poor and the needy. They've wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man," where? "Among them, who would make a wall, who would stand in the gap before me on behalf of" what? "That I should not destroy it. But I found" what? This man that the Lord is looking for, and by the way, it's also a woman, it's like mankind. This person the Lord is looking for is, by the way, before the verse 29, it talks about the corruption in the priesthood, talks about the corruption in the government, talks about the corruption in the prophetic movement. So on every level, the priests are corrupt, the prophets are corrupt, the government is corrupt. Does that sound like the nation today? And then it talks about the people. The people are also corrupt. Then he said, "I sought for a man among the same people." So the man he's looking for is a man that's among them, but different to them. Because all the people are under the perversion of the land. He's looking for a man that's different to that perversion. It's because of the man's difference that he's now able to stand as an intercessor. The problem is sometimes people that are similar to the corruption of the land are releasing incense. The incense is not going to shift the atmosphere. Why? Because the incense is coming from a person that's still like the land. The iniquities of the land have found expression in your soul, and you have not been cleansed from it, and you still want to take the land? Impossible. So one of the things God does is he starts to purge us of all the idols of the territories we're in. If we're going to be effective in our intercession, we have to be purged from all the iniquities, all the things that come from the land that we're in. Sometimes we're not even conscious of it, but it sips its way into our soul. And so to be effective intercessors, there has to be that purging. Where I'm going is, God is wanting us to rise to the place of air supremacy in the spirit. Whoever has air supremacy has advantage in battle. In World War II, they're fighting the battle of Britain. Today, we're fighting the battle for Britain. The battle we're fighting is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle, but it's like the World War II scenario. There are forces that seem stronger than us that are gaining ground, gaining territory, and they're not playing at all. They are fighting with everything in them because they understand what they have. Can I talk? Can I talk? You see, in the United Kingdom, one of the forces we're facing right now is radical Islam. Did you hear me? I know we're streaming. It's okay, I can say it. Radical Islam is here to take over. A friend of mine was at the shop once. And she was on the queue. And someone that was clearly a Muslim jumped the queue and went to the front. So everyone on the queue, because we're British, right? It's like, hey, hey, hey. So this person turned to everyone on the queue. And she obviously identified as a Muslim and is radical in the beliefs. And she turns to them and says, you know what? We are going to outbreed you all very soon. Goes ahead and does what she's doing and walks off. Now, our fight is not against... So, I'm not talking about being mad at people. See, when they engage in fasting, when they engage in prayer, in their prayer, people think it's just nothing because they're not praying to Yahweh God. How is it that they have a prayer culture and we have a prayer meeting and we think we're going to shift a territory that they are in with us when they're investing more in the spirit than we are because we're lazy? And so the atmosphere is potent with all sorts. And they're adding to the to that. I remember a friend, a minister friend, was talking to me about something that happened recently. I'm not going to name the place, but it's a place in Manchester. It's a wealthy place. They organized a huge Christian rally. It wasn't a Christian rally. It was the Easter time, just recently. This place probably only has one evangelical church. Things have been hard there for some time. But they managed to get 1,000 people, non-Christians, to come out and watch this play. You know the Passion play? You know, from the crucifixion to the resurrection. And so people journeyed with the play. And the vision was that after the play, people will be invited to a course where they're going to learn about Jesus, like the Alpha course or Christianity Explored. You know, some of these things. So everyone is excited. Over 1,000 people have shown up. That's a big deal. When I heard this, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And the minister telling me said, don't celebrate just yet. Just hear the rest of this. They put on the course. They invited people. And he told me one church in particular only had one person show up. How many? If you were that pastor, what would be your response? You saw 1,000 people come to see this play, and you've invited lots of people to show up to find out more about Christ, and only one person shows up. What I said to the minister is, you know what that means? The church has not broken through in the air. Because the people on the land, they're living their lives according to the prince and the power of the air, and it's working in them rebellion and disobedience. So it doesn't matter how articulate you are and how much you understand theology and the gospel, you can speak all you want, but if you don't take charge of the air, not much is going to take place, because people, their soul is going to pick up what's already existing in the atmosphere. And if their soul picks up rebellion, that's what they're going to manifest, because someone has not released incense to shift the space. And so this is where God starts to raise up movements like these. Part of our calling is to be a spiritual air force that begins to take charge of atmospheres in territories and nations. When we started this ministry, Prayer Storm, the Lord starts to stir my heart for gatherings of fasting and prayer to take charge of atmospheres. And honestly, I just thought, Lord, I'm not sure it's me that's going to do this. So we started in 2009. We started with a 40-day fast. And I remember God just stirring our hearts that He wants to raise up burning ones that would take charge of regions. He gave me the word tunnel vision. Young people who are going to have a tunnel vision. They will not be distracted to the left, turn to the left or to the right. They'll be fixed on God's calling on their life. And because of that, the Lord will be able to take hold of them and use them to shift regions. When God has a special calling, He often puts a demand on a life for a special lifestyle. Our generation is a generation that needs to rediscover the ingredients that are necessary to take charge of territories for God. So, you know, over the years, I've been to many prayer meetings. I've been doing this Prayer Storm thing since 2009. You know, and in these meetings, I've often felt a stirring, and it's like I could see a lack. And even though I could see it, a part of me is like, Lord, I'm not sure I'm the one to fix it. But I can see lots of Christians gathering. But I am not seeing the ingredients I have seen in Scripture that are necessary to truly take charge of an atmosphere for God. You see, Ephesians 6 doesn't say, I wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. What does it say? We. What does it say? And so to take territory, I believe, is not an I thing. It's a what? It's a church thing. And when I say church, I don't mean just one church. I mean, there is something of a coming together of the church. But it's not just the coming together of the church. It's a coming together of the church with an understanding of our assignment. Because oftentimes the church comes together and we say, let's pray. You've been to those prayer meetings. And we say we're meeting to pray for an hour, right? And what did I say? But here's what I've realized. I love worship, and I love to just worship the Lord, especially through song, because it's not just through song you can worship. Worship is more than singing. However, many people have reduced worship to singing, just singing. Are you hearing me? So we said we were going to pray for how long? But what tends to happen is, because prayer exposes your weaknesses in the spirit, what tends to happen is we try to cover up our spiritual deficiencies with our giftings. So instead of actually praying for an hour, We will sing for 40 minutes and then preach for 15. You see what's going on here? And then the last few minutes, let's break into groups and pray. And those prayers, many times in my experience, they don't carry fervency. They're often just, let's just get through this quickly and end this meeting. And then we spend an hour drinking coffee afterwards. Oh, we go for an extended prayer and we say, we're going to pray for 6 hours. We spend 2 hours doing maybe social connecting, maybe singing. Again, worship by the Spirit is often prayer as well. But I'm not talking about that type of worship that's stirred by the Spirit. I'm talking about times where we're just singing to pass time because we don't want to face our spiritual bankruptcy. So we do that, and then it's like, oh, we've got 3 more hours. And then someone comes and then maybe does a preach for an hour. And then we have everyone advertise their various things going on. Oh, this is going on, this is going on, we're going to support it. And then before you know, we have 1 hour left. So the prayer meeting was meant to be for 5 hours. But how many? Are you hearing me? How long did we pray? It wasn't that long. So we have not maximized what is possible in that meeting. And this is what prayer does. If you really begin to pray, it exposes your weakness in such a way that the only way to get through that weakness is to depend on the Holy Spirit. That's why there's a poverty of the Spirit you need to be familiar with. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But oftentimes we cover up that poverty with all sorts of nice spiritual props. I often say this, the Apostle Paul did not have a phone in his prison cell to listen to his favorite worship band. He didn't have that. Sometimes we need to get rid of the props and face the reality of where we are in our spirit. And so I've been to many prayer meetings and I see some of these things. It's not every place. I see some of these things. And there's something I notice as well, which is one of the key ingredients. This is in Joel 2:15. You see in the book of Joel, it says, gather the people. It says, call a fast. And that's our favorite subject, fasting. I've noticed, I'm yet to see the gathering of the people of God. See, when he says in Joel 2, gather the people, that's not two people. Because it tells you the type of people to gather. Gather those who just got married, the bridegroom, the priest, the nursing children. Gather everyone. It's actually calling for the gathering of the nation. Did you hear me? What did I say? The gathering of what?
A nation.
The people of God in the nation is calling the people to gather together to fast. When was the last time you went to a gathering of 10? 20, 40, 50, 70,000 believers. And they gathered not to listen to a famous preacher, but to fast. And they didn't just gather to fast, they gathered to fast and pray. But the type of prayer they're called to pray is qualified. You see this in 2 Chronicles 7:14, a famous passage. If my people who are called by my name will humble, by the way, humble themselves is also fasting, would humble themselves and seek my face. That's the type of prayer. He didn't say seek my hands. What did he say? Seek my face. So it's not just that we gather en masse to pray. We gather en masse to seek his face. So there is a level of, this is another word, humility and brokenness in the prayer. You know, sometimes our prayer meetings are boring because we're burdenless. Sometimes our prayer meetings are not having an effect because we have gathered all the prayer points, but we're praying those points without burdens. That's why we move on from them so quickly. Because when you have a burden, you don't need a prayer point. Prayer becomes the point. The burden carries you. When was the last time you prayed until you relieved yourself of what you're feeling? Because the prayer is not in the articulation. I'm trying to say, British church, we have not yet gained air supremacy. We're praying, but our prayer is not potent enough to shift the atmosphere over the nation. Because we're coming to seek the Lord and we have the idols of the land in our hearts. We're coming to seek the Lord, but we're covering up our spiritual bankruptcy. We're coming to seek the Lord, but we're full of pride. So we don't even pray long enough for him to reveal the deep issues of our hearts. We just want to do our thing and get back quicker. In fact, we're praying, but we're asking God to come and bless what we're doing for him. Whereas he wants to demolish it. We're asking him to come and bless. See, what we're doing for him is not that it's bad, but it's not what he wants to do in that moment. I'm not saying he doesn't want to reach the lost, but he wants us to reach the lost from a sent place. Laborers are few. The harvest field is praying for laborers few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would want. So many are going, but they've not been sent. And to be sent, you're sent from on high with an authority that manifests so everyone knows when they hear you, you've been sent. You're not an echo, you're a voice. And you can see that all these forces are trying to take over the United Kingdom. Radical Islam is rising and the church is sleeping. Jezebel has taken over with perversion, sexual perversion. And the church is mostly just carrying away, trying to be politically correct. Doesn't want to hurt a fly. Because in their mind, Jesus never said anything controversial. But the last time I read my Bible, Jesus was always confronting, was speaking to issues. He was not afraid to confront. Yes, he was full of grace, but he was full of truth. It seems like the kind of church we're born into is a church that's full of grace, 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 but we are weak in our ability to stand in truth and declare the word. And sometimes we could even speak the truth, but it doesn't carry the authority it should have because we've not invested in the spirit like we should. So our words are falling to the ground. We have not taken charge of the air. What I'm trying to say to you is, God is wanting to raise up a movement of prayer to take charge of the airways of our regions and nations. And these are the ingredients I'm seeing. A spirit of repentance. A spirit of prayer with a burden. Fasting. That's number three, right? What's the first one? A spirit of repentance, humility, crying out to God. Next one, prayer with a burden. Like our Joel 2 says, rend your hearts, not your garments. In other words, your heart has to be broken. The prophet said, you know, break up the fallow ground of your hearts, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes. So the heart has to be broken. Humility. Prayer with a burden. Fasting. Another ingredient that we often not considered. Do it en masse. Did you hear me? Do it on what? It says, gather the people en masse and indoctrinate them into this way of living. So if we're going to gather en masse, we're not going to do it because of a famous preacher. We're not going to do it because of a great thing that, you know, we're excited about this worship leader. We're gathering because we want God to shift things in the nation. I've been in the United Kingdom for 24 years now. And I've been part of incredible prayer initiatives and prayer movements. And I'm not saying this to boast or to say I'm the one that has the answer. But as I've been in different places, I've realized I'm yet to be in a space where these ingredients forge into one. Are you hearing me? Because Joel 2 says this, I will pour out my spirit. In fact, before that it says, and afterwards. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So we need to ask ourselves, and after what? After the mass gathering, after the people come in and repentance and fasting, humility, brokenness, crying out to God for this land. I am a missionary in this land, carrying the spirit of missionaries that have left these shores years ago. They left with that burden for the lost. I've come here with that burden for the lost. I know we're seeing God move in pockets, Gen Z. We're hearing testimonies of people turning to God. But when we look in the bigger picture of things, there is a lot of work to be done in the spirit. And so the Lord is wanting to raise up intercessors that would capture this DNA. I'm going to show you a video. I don't know if the guys have the tipping point ready. I want you to get the tipping point video ready. We're going to watch this video because it shares a bit of a story that has led us to where we are right now as a ministry. And I'm sharing this because I want you to understand why we are gathering the way we're calling for this gathering.
We hope you enjoyed this Prayer Storm podcast. For more content, find us on Instagram at Prayer Storm, all one word, and on YouTube, Prayer Storm TV.